This is Chasing Wisdom, your source for conversation and serious ideas for those striving to become wiser leaders in business. Your host is Dr. Sam Serto. Sam is the Steinmetz Professor of Management in the Graduate School of Business at Rollins College in Winter Park, Florida. He also serves as a leader at Northland, a church distributed, located in Central Florida. Along with leaders from various fields, our goal is to provide practical wisdom for those navigating real-world business challenges. Welcome to this conversation about how to become a wiser leader in business, Bible, and life.
Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Sam Serto, and you're listening to the Chasing Wisdom podcast. Here, leaders talk about business, Bible, and life to help all of us become wiser leaders. Today, our guest is Brian A. Walsh. Brian is the founder and president of the Collage Companies, a design and construction services firm headquartered in Lake Mary, Florida. Collage has become an established leader in the construction industry. Brian is currently president-elect of the Design Build Institute of America's Florida region and remains active in many industry and civic roles. He focuses his business life around having a bottom-line purpose as well as bottom-line profit, and often travels to Central America on mission trips. Brian, his wife of 32 years, Diane, and their two children attend Northland, a church distributed, where Brian is an elder. Brian, it's great to have you here in the studio.
Great, Sam. It's a pleasure to be here. Thanks so much for doing this.
Good. One of the things that we maybe could just start in terms of clarification, what do you mean by the difference between bottom-line purpose and bottom-line profit?
Well, God has a calling on all of our lives. And, you know, we have different talents. We need to use them. We need to use them for two purposes. Obviously, it's a way for us to provide for our family, but it's really a way to give back and serve God's purpose. So that's really what it is, bottom-line purpose and bottom-line profit.
So, in essence, it's business and Bible together in a way.
That's exactly what it is.
All right, perfect. Yeah. Well, for those of you who may not have been familiar with Brian's company in the past, his website is Collage, collage-usa.com. And you can take a look at some of the projects that this company has worked on and completed. It's a very impressive track record of accomplishments. Maybe it's good for you to tell us just a bit about your organization in terms of background. What do we have here?
It's Sam, it's an integrated construction services company, which means we provide design, build, construction management, and general contracting services. Basically, that means if you have a company, we can provide turnkey services for complete new construction, or we can do renovations, or we can do additions to your contract. What we do, I mean, our client base is in the commercial sector of the business. We're really not involved in the residential side. So we work with clients such as Amtrak, Sunrail. We just got a contract with the Greater Orlando Aviation Authority. We've worked on some colleges and universities, UCF, UNF, Rollins, Stetson. And we work for some large corporations, too, doing hospitality work. We work with Host Marriott Corporation, Holiday Inn Express, Extended Stay America. And this is the passion part. We have a passion for working with not-for-profit and faith-based missions. We've had the pleasure and just the blessing to be able to build over 150 churches in the last 34 years.
Wow. Tell us what the name means. It's kind of an interesting name given the activity you do.
It's an unusual name, and it's an unusual name how it came back. It really wasn't our first name. We tried to get a few names within the Department of Public Regulations up there for corporate names. But as we thought about it, it really fits very well with what we do. What we do is a combining of a lot of different disciplines. Not only do we do design and construction, you know, but when we do that, we involve 16 or 17 different divisions. We have literally hundreds of people working on each of our projects. So as a collage is in the art world, it's a combination of a whole bunch of different things, different entities, different disciplines, and combining them into a unified whole.
Your company has actually built the building that you and I are in right now.
That's correct.
Northland Church.
That's correct.
And Just to give people an idea of the massiveness of some of your projects, can you paint us a verbal picture of what this church is, what it looks like, and how we operate within?
Well, we are sitting, Sam, within 160,000 square feet of new space. This facility has a 3,500-seat worship space. It has multiple classrooms. The large mall space, or what we call a third space outside that worship space, is actually multi-purpose. It allows for gathering after the worship space for the church family. You can have dinners there. We all know that we have a lot of different organizations that come in. There are separate areas where people can sit and meet during the week in an informal basis. We have a Nature's Table Cafe, which is fantastic, at our church. So we have that. We have an administration building as well. So it really is much more like a community center than the old form of a church.
Right. How many people are able to fit into the worship center on a Sunday?
There's seats for 3,500.
Okay.
Plus you have then the very large platform area. And as you well know, we have a worship team that sometimes has 50 people up there singing and worshiping at the same time.
Good. Okay. Now that gives everybody a view of the massiveness of some of the projects that you do. Tell us a bit about your role now. You're CEO and president, and how do you see your role in this organization?
Sam, you know, starting out a company as president and CEO, you do a little bit of everything. So I have not only handled client relationships through the years, but I've also emptied the waste paper baskets on Saturday mornings, cleaned up the office, all those type of things. Right now, as our company has grown, and the major key that I see for myself is to continue to keep our staff focused on our mission and to be able to have a smooth transition into this next generation of leadership that we mm-hmm. have mm-hmm. in our company.
So when you look at that transition, lots of people are involved in that transition. And as listeners listen to your story, hopefully we can give them some ideas about how they can become wiser leaders. And when you think about transition, what are some of the main activities that you see that need to be performed in terms of transitioning leadership from one generation to another?
This may sound, the first part may sound simple, but it's key. It is, first off, praying to make sure that you're following God's timing. There is a time in everyone's business where you need to make the next step. Some people actually hold on to that leadership too long, which could be a problem. So really, I spent and have been spending years just trying to discern it's the right time. When it's the right time, again, the next step for me in most cases is to do research. Look at other people, at what they've done, talk to other people, do some reading, find out how that transition process occurs. Then next is you really need to make sure that you're rising up young leaders, and young leaders that have the skill set not only to do maybe what they've been doing in the past, but be able to step into a new set of skills. And that's the real challenge, to find that right person or persons that you're going to pass the baton to.
And it amounts to taking a longer view of how you transition than just, I'm so-and-so in terms of age. What do I do next year? It's more like a journey than it is actually a destination.
Yeah, you're exactly correct. I mean, much of life and much of running a company is that journey, not the destination. Certainly, this transition component is that. It is not something that occurs quickly. For me, you know, I have been working on it for almost 2 years now in a pretty regular, steady way. Our transition plan right now is scheduled to really start to take place in a 3 to 5 year period from now. So it's really it's a good period of time. It
right.
doesn't occur over a weekend.
One of the things that we've communicated in terms of preparation for this podcast has to do with maybe what you think is a particularly challenging part of your job. And you talk about relationships as the most challenging part.
Mm-hmm.
And something happened to you at a conference. that reflects that.
Yes. Yeah. Let me share this. It was actually several years ago. It was at a Design Build Institute of America conference, the annual conference, gathering of some world-class building companies from around the nation. And there was one of the breakout sessions that was being led by a multi-billion-dollar national firm. The person that was leading the breakout session for them was a psychologist. That was interesting enough, but the real interesting part, he was a full-time psychologist on the staff of the construction firm.
Oh.
Which is very interesting. And the reason for that, obviously, that was almost the first question, why is that? They realized in their desire to improve quality, you know, they would research and research their project. What are the issues that cause problems, cause delays, cost overruns? Clearly, they saw that 50% of those problems were technically related, things that maybe occurred during the design process that are a one-time issue that you can probably improve by checking the plans more or the documents or things like that,
right.
Improvable situations. The other 50% were relationship-based, that people within their own organization did not know how to build team, they did not know how to communicate internally, did not know how to communicate externally. And those things, if you don't start from the beginning to build the team before you build a building, you're headed in the wrong direction. If you don't have relationship during the process, then you start to erode that process along the way. You're doomed for some level of failure if you don't have the team in place before you build the building.
We have a situation at the school where I teach in the MBA program, Rollins College, and we have alumni that come back from time to time. Each year we have events, and one of the questions is, what maybe should you have learned here that you didn't learn in terms of your careers? And inevitably people say, well, you taught us well in accounting, you taught us well in finance, we know quite a bit about marketing and human resources in terms of personnel, but we really needed to know more about how you interact with people.
Yes.
Because the people problems, as you've said, they would agree with, are some of the most serious things they face.
You got it.
And the
challenges. You got it.
You like to focus on flexibility and learning from what you do wrong. Now, I do a lot wrong. I'm sure you don't.
But yeah, you don't know me well enough. Yeah, you know, after 34 years, I've done a lot of things wrong. A lot of positive things have happened, but a lot of things you learn wrong. One of the things, personality trait, which maybe has some positives and negatives, I'm a perfectionist, and I'm somewhat, or depending on who you talk to, very much so an obsessive compulsive guy. I like to have files, I like to have color coding, I like to have neat stacks of paper, I like to have organized schedules and charts. Thankfully, not everyone is like that, you know,
right.
And I've learned over the years that I'm not going to build a team around a bunch of clones like myself. That would be the worst team that we could ever possibly have. Need to have people with different skill sets, different abilities, different personalities. So flexibility is really a key. The other thing that I've learned over the years is, as much as we try in our hiring process and in our development process, no team is made up of all A players. It's not meant to be, and it never will be. People have different levels of ability and skill set. The leader's job is to pull all that together, find out what the talent is and see how a person can best contribute, and then put that together. It's that orchestra leader that you need to be as a leader of a company.
And we have a feature here called Sunday to Monday, and that what it entails is something that you might hear in church on Sunday and take into the work week. And one verse that comes to mind that sort of reinforces what you're talking about is also one of your favorite verses, 1 Corinthians 12:12.
Mm-hmm.
And it talks about the body and its parts. Does that fit your mention of?
Yeah, I think it aligns with it perfectly, Sam. I think, again, that the one body part is a term that can be used for different size organizations. It really works within the family. It works within the company. It works within the church, it works within the community. We're really all part of something. You know, we've all heard the expression, no one's an island. That's truly
right.
The case.
Right.
And we can't get by. Mm-hmm. Whatever part we are within that body, we can't get along without the rest of the body. And it is so applicable in organizations to understand and be comfortable where you are within that body. You know, whatever you're called to be, again, it goes back to that purpose and calling. Whatever you're called to be, just do that well.
Right.
You know?
And it kind of goes back to what you were saying, that and implying that leaders shouldn't try to clone themselves, but they should understand the people around them and build that team and move forward with that team. Another notion that I really thought was interesting in our preparation materials has to do with both good and evil. And there is another verse that comes to mind, John 10:10, the thief comes to steal and destroy. And that, in a sense, that suits your leadership philosophy. Would you tell us how that merits in your mind a primary driver of what you do?
You know, I think that truth from that scripture is one that I didn't realize when I was younger. But as I've, you know, experienced life a little bit more, that is part of life. There's good and there's evil. And there are people that are pursuing the wrong things. For us right now, it is not about always the bottom line dollar. And certainly it's never about a bottom line dollar if there's any question of lack of integrity. You know, the other scripture regarding that is, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul?
Right.
It really doesn't matter if we have an opportunity to do a really big job and to make a big profit, if in fact there's anything along the way that's less than integrity.
And when you think about this, you've walked away from jobs and walked away from clients because you didn't think that the atmosphere was one that was going to be conducive to client-professional relationship.
We definitely have. Some of our best jobs are the ones that we've said no to.
I want to know a bit about what you're reading these days.
Well, I love to read. I have a unique habit, which, again, it may be good or maybe bad, but it's my habit. I read several books at a time. I'll
okay.
read a couple chapters of something, and then I'll put it down, and I really like to contemplate that, and I'll move on to something else and read it for a little bit. So, some people read a book in a day or a week or whatever. Books sometimes take me 2 months to read because I'm reading them in little chunks and really try and digest and see how that applies to me. So,
okay.
A great book that I'm reading right now is one by Eugene Peterson. He's one of my favorite authors. He's written the Message version of the Bible, and it's called Run with the Horses. What I love about the book, it's a book about Jeremiah, and he's having a conversation with God, and he's complaining to God that he's trying to talk to the people of Israel and get them to lead a proper life, and they're sinning and they're not listening. Well, again, the more I contemplated that, don't we all do that? We all complain all the time that our children aren't listening, our coworkers aren't listening, our wives, our husbands aren't listening. It's a woe is me conversation that we have sometime with God. And what God said to Jeremiah, which, again, I just love the challenge, he said, Jeremiah, if you are so wrapped up in these little things of life, how will you ever be able to run with the horses?
Love it.
You know, again, yeah. It's that, for me, is that challenge. I love, I mentioned that, I love football stories and coaching. It's that coach who's saying, hey, guys, if you're not willing to put forth the effort here at practice, how are you ever going to do something great in the game?
Are other people reading this in your company?
Not this particular book. I've shared some of the principles in our staff meeting, and it will be one of the books we probably will, but I go through them first so I get a pretty good handle on them, and then it becomes a book that we sort of go through together.
What kind of learning message do you anticipate in your company? It's a Bible verse, but company application.
Well, I think all of us can. It goes back to that complaining part. All of us can complain, you know, woe is me about work. I have to do this. I have to do that. That's just life. It's really an opportunity. It's not a chore. The difference in those two things is the attitude. You can look at it as a real chore to do something, or you can look at it as an opportunity to do something. And in our company, I mean, one of the things that I just love about the people we work with, we really are about the mission. We want to do something that's going to have impact. The mission statement for our company is to build buildings that build the foundation and fabric of our community. We're trying to do stuff that matters. And in order to do that, you've got to be able to put up with the day-to-day work.
We end a podcast, and we're almost ended.
Wow.
It goes by in a hurry. That's right.
It was quick.
We end each podcast with a pearl of wisdom, and the pearl of wisdom is something that you would like to have listeners emphasize. They take away, and they can use it almost immediately as they try to perform their leadership duties. What would your pearl of wisdom, based upon what we've been talking about, or maybe something that complements what we've been talking about?
Well, you know, it specifically complements what we've been talking about, and I so much appreciate what you do and the book you've written with Chasing Wisdom and stuff. I think it's so applicable, and I've thought about that. The pearl that I would come up with is knowledge and wisdom are both very good things, but you should spend more time on gaining wisdom. There is a little bit of a choice there. A lot of people like to get book knowledge. They like to know the facts, but those other things, the things between the lines are important. I think that's really where the wisdom is. You know, the relationship is more important than the project. You know, so I think that would be the pearl of wisdom. You need both. You need knowledge and wisdom, but spend more time on the wisdom.
And so when you think about knowledge, thank you for the encouragement about the book, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
But when you think about wisdom as being insight about right and wrong and what to do, the knowledge of the situation really funnels into that. And as you look in the rearview mirror, or you have some knowledge that comes through experience, and how to make that application becomes extremely valuable. And that's where I think the wisdom comes in. And it really boils down to not only technical knowledge, but biblical knowledge and how you put those two together. Okay, everybody. Unfortunately, time is up for this podcast. This was Brian Walsh and his informative views on how to blend business and biblical principles to become a wiser leader. You can connect with Brian through LinkedIn by searching for Brian Walsh, WALSH. Thanks to you listeners for tuning in. You can keep in contact with me on Facebook at chasing.wisdom. Remember, you can get more tips on how to become a wiser leader at my website, chasewisdom.com. Until you tune in next Wednesday, that's Wisdom Wednesday. You know the drill. Keep on chasing. God bless.
You've been listening to Chasing Wisdom with host Dr. Sam Serto. We would love to hear from you regarding this podcast. You can reach us at northlandchurch.net/chasingwisdom. We will be here each Wednesday with a fresh look at being a wiser leader in business, Bible, and life. Want to reach out to Dr. Serto? Email him at sserto@rollins.edu.